So we are going to start with this meditation our third week. So once that we have contemplated the principle and foundations of our faith, and that we have renewed ourselves to follow Jesus Christ as a new creation through baptism and through confession and experiencing His great mercy, then we are in a position to say, oh, Jesus, You are so good. You are so lovable. You are the love of my life. I just want to go with You wherever You go. And then God says, Jesus says, well, there's a specific route that I am following. So come, I invite you to come. And so in this week, we're going to contemplate some of the mysteries of the life of Jesus. And because we're living those mysteries with Him. And the objective, of course, is just to enjoy just being with Him and feeling that happiness of having Him as the companion of our lives and just being there with Him and just that conviction of being in the best possible place and wanting to go nowhere else. And it's back to our first contemplation or composition of place. We are with Him in that desert, in that lake, in that river, in that park, in that beach, together with Him, with a person that we love. And this is our itinerary for this week. And of course, we have to start with the incarnation, right? With His coming. The great decision of God the Father loving us so much and wanting us to be part of this circle, this loving, exciting circle, that one of them, one of those girls, so to say, I don't want to be disrespectful with Jesus, but you know that image of the three girls just dancing together or just spinning together. It's like, let's go and bring more people to experience this joy. And Jesus comes. And we really want to contemplate Mary in the Annunciation. So I am going to read from the Gospel according to Luke. Something wonderful is happening in Nazareth. The angel Gabriel is being sent to this virgin that was already announced by the prophet Isaiah. It's like, oh, okay, if you don't want to ask for a sign, God Himself will give you a sign. Because look, the virgin will conceive a son. And then immediately after, well, not immediately after, no, like thousands of years after, the prophecy is true because, and the name of the virgin was Mary. Now, the first thing that I want you to invite you to contemplate is the fact that, yes, the name of the virgin was Mary, but at the same time, when the angel comes, so he doesn't call her Mary. He calls her Kecharitomene, which means full of grace. I was like, hello, full of grace. And of course, when we hear that translation in English, it's like Mary, full of grace. Mary is the substantive, the name, and then the adjective is full of grace. She's Mary, full of grace, like the carpet is blue. It's carpet, blue. It's like Mary, full of grace. But that's not what the angel is saying. The angel is giving her a name, like a new name. That's the first name, full of grace. In Greek, it's better because it's just one word. No, full of grace. No, it's like one word. The full of grace. So Mary's at first surprise because she feels very touched in her intimacy. It's like someone is like, whoa, who are you that you know me so well? It's like, I don't know you, and I just feel that you entered the door inside of my closet. because he has given her a name, a secret name. So Mary is one of the few persons that living already knew her heavenly name. And that's part of the key of who she is. She is so saint that she doesn't have to grow in a certain way. She is already who she is. She is the full of grace. Imagine that we were giving a living saint in Mary, someone who is so participating of the grace of God, so united with God, and she is so herself. And the angel is saying, be happy, full of grace. Now, the angel is, let me just read it, continue reading it. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, favored one." So in this case, it's favored one, but it's like full of grace. Actually, full of grace is much nicer. This is the Catholic study Bible. Come on. "The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. So it's like this surprise. It's like, how do you know me? And this whole conversation between Mary and the angel, for those who are studying in DMU, like spiritual direction and discernment of spirits and all things, Mary is doing a discernment of spirits. So this is an angel of light that comes. And you say, of course he's Gabriel. You should be happy. No way. I just have to see who is this person. Who is this angel? I wish Eve had done a similar thing. Just not just take it. Just like, hey, listen, who are you? Like, you're getting very close. Like, you're calling me full of grace. Like, who are you? Like, take the distance. And so... Gabriel is talking to her. He's like, do not be afraid, for you are found with favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. And then it's like, you know, discernment of spirits. Am I to bear a son? But I did a vow of virginity, you know. Joseph and I did a vow of virginity. So it's kind of like, it could sound like, hey, don't worry about your vow of virginity anymore. Who do you think you are? Like telling me that I don't have to worry about my vow of virginity anymore. So he has to explain himself. And you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father. So maybe he's just saying he will be so great. So don't worry about breaking your vow of virginity because he will be so great. She's not distracted by that. She's like, what are you saying? And he will rule over the house of Jacob forever. In his kingdom, there will be no end. But, it says, but Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I have no relations with a man? And the angel said to her in reply, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible for God. Now, this is interesting because I had already told you this in another meditation. Now he is calling God by a name. And that's what she was waiting for. So according to you, who is God? Like, what do you say about God? And then Gabriel is saying, you know, he is a God that does wonders. Your cousin, she couldn't have babies. She's old. And she is already in her third month, and sixth. She's already in her sixth month. And he's like, okay, the God that I am representing right now is the God where there's no impossibles. It's the God that does wonders. I'm like, yes, yes, that's my God. So whatever you say, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Because the devil is like, he is a liar. God is a liar. He is the liar. And then he says, he's the God that does wonders. So this is a good angel. So she made her discernment and he said, okay, I made my discernment. This is the way to go. I am the handmaid of the Lord. Now, another thing is, if you compare this to the apparition to Zachary, because he also came to Zachary, the same angel, and actually that's how the gospel starts. And it says that he says, but the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Sounds very much like what he said to Mary. Because your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall name him John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. Listen, first of all, the angel is not asking anything from Zechariah. He's just asking to accept the good news that he's giving. And then he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink neither wine nor strong drink. And then he says, I think this is not a very smart question on the side of Zechariah. Like, how shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in my years. It's kind of like, you shall know this if your wife is pregnant or no. It's like as simple as that. No? But he's kind of like questioning it. And then Gabriel says, you're not really getting it. I am Gabriel. I stand in front of the Lord. I'm one of the archangels that watch his face all the time. And because you didn't believe me, you will be mute until this, everything is fulfilled. Like, now, a part of the fact that Mary was doing this discernment of spirits and Zachary was just like not believing, what is the main difference here between what is happening with Zechariah and with Mary? This is the main difference. This is the archangel Gabriel, and this is Zechariah. It's like, listen, Zechariah, I'm just giving you good news. Be thankful. I am Gabriel. Now, let's just move to Mary and Gabriel. This is Gabriel, and this is Mary. Mary is the queen of angels. So Gabriel is like, yes, Mary. And then Mary's like, how shall I know? Oh, my queen, well, I will explain to you. That's the difference. But the difference is like brings us very deep into our faith and very deep to the meaning of what is being a Christian. Because with us, if Gabriel had come to you, Gabriel would have been here and you would have been here. Because you are baptized. Because you are configured to Jesus Christ. Because you have godly dignity. Because you have been brought by the holy angel to his altar on high. And Zechariah and all the characters of the Old Testament hadn't. And now this is the very interesting thing. But Jesus has not been born yet. He has not been crucified yet. So there's no virtue in the baptism. Mary was not baptized. But Mary was conceived without original sin. Mary is the first fruit of the redemption that Jesus was going to bring by his cross. And we owe that to the dogma of the Immaculate Conception, where the Pope says, by the future merits of his cross. In other words, Mary was, we were all bought cash by the blood of Christ. Mary was bought by credit card. So she didn't get immediately, but she was going to get it. So Mary's credit card, we are cash. But it's the same redemption, it's the same cross, and it's the same blood. Like the payment that I told you about, like the host, like the Eucharist, the body of Christ being really the worth of you, of your soul. That's your payment. That's how much you're worth, that Eucharist that you're receiving. So you see, it's the same with Mary. It's the blood of Christ. So the blood of Christ was active in Mary as the first of the creatures of the New Testament. So Mary is the New Testament. The New Testament starts with Mary, for as the ones who receive the fruit of the redemption. Jesus gives us the redemption, but the ones who receive the fruit of the redemption, Mary is the first. And in fact, in the altars of the Middle Ages, the altars from the 11th century, 10th century, 9th century, you will see that in the apse of those altars, you'll see Jesus Christ on the cross. It's always been not always, but from very old ages, has been Jesus on the cross at the center of the Mass, like saying, this is the sacrifice of the Mass. And it's curious, it's not that old. It started in the 7th century, the representation of Christ on the cross. Before it was, the Pantocrator, like the big, big Jesus, like the Orthodox use. Because for many, the first centuries, it was too scandalous to say that our God is crucified man. Because it is a hard thing. But, already where I'm talking about this, the 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th century, with Jesus on the cross, and then you see this, sometimes this stone representations, and sometimes with the early paintings, is Jesus and Mary to the right side of Jesus, because in sacred art, the one who is at the right of Jesus is the most important character, and then the second in importance is the first on the left, and then the third is the second on the right, and so on. So when you see, so Mary's on the right side, and on the left side is John the Baptist. Later, it's John the Evangelist. We'll come to that. But in that moment, it's John the Baptist. Why? Because the theological message is from Adam and Eve to John the Baptist was history. And then something wonderful happened in history, which is the sacrifice of Christ. And after the sacrifice of Christ is Mary to you, or to your granddaughter that has just been baptized this weekend. So Jesus Christ crucified is the whole history of salvation. And, with a little bit of imagination, because I don't know about this Jesus, but most Jesus have already the side open. He's just bringing all that humanity from Adam and Eve and all the ones of the future, those that are to come and those that are right now present, and he brings them into his wound in himself so that he can just go to his Father with everybody inside of him. It's reconciling everything in Christ, in God, to bring it back to the Father. So that's the theological message. And you understand Mary being to the right of Christ through that representation, but you can also see that already here in the attitude of Gabriel, because Gabriel is subordinate to Mary. And you can see that parallel with Eve and Satan. No, Satan is like not just superior to Eve, but he despises Eve. So he's talking to a creature that he considers inferior and he despises. And Gabriel considers himself under Mary and he loves Mary. He rejoices in Mary. Like so many, you know, have seen paintings of the Immaculate Conception, and the cherub are so happy just flying around Mary. It's like the delight of the angels. And it is the delight of the angels because the angels that were good angels, they learned something new when Jesus Christ became man. For the bad angels, it's like, how can God do that? I mean, it's just, he's not God. I won't serve that God. But for the good angels, it's like, God was already perfect for us. I mean, he created us and he's God. What else can I say? But it's kind of like they found out God has a heart, like very special heart. He is so wonderful that he can afford to make himself small. I imagine how happy were the angels just to see him as a baby. Well, but we'll come to that later about that, the meditation of Jesus as a baby. So that's one thing to consider in the Immaculate Conception and all the consequences of the incarnation of Jesus, and just feel the amazement, the awe, and that joy. Wow, he is really coming. And he's coming to the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. She's my mother. That important queen, she's my mother. And the second thing is that, just to link it with the Mass. Now, we will see that in a very, very deep sense, the Mass is what is going to happen later on Calvary. But the Mass is also the scene that we just saw in Nazareth. Let me tell you how. Imagine for a little moment that the priest is the Archangel Gabriel. And he's giving you a message. You, a message. And you, meaning you all, as the people of God, you are Mary. And he's giving you a good message. And the message is the Mass. All the explanation that he is saying here, like, and I quote the words of Gabriel, but I just have to go forward because these are the words of Gabriel to Zechariah. When he is saying, he will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever. In his kingdom there will be no end. All that is part of what we're saying in the Mass. And then you're listening to the Mass, and at the end of the Mass, you're saying, yes, that's my God. You go to communion, and you say, Amen. I am the handmaid of the Lord. You come to the altar and saying, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done to me according to thy word. And then you receive Christ in that Eucharist, and Christ is in your body as it was in the body of the Blessed Virgin Mary. That's what happens at the end, just as the Annunciation. So you are on the side of Mary, and the priest is on the side of Gabriel. And Jesus is right there. It's just like, and it's incredible. At the same time, this is one thing, but another thing is just compare the womb of the Blessed Mary to this altar. There's a moment in which Jesus is not there. It's bread. There's nothing there. And in a certain moment in the Mass, in the most mysterious way, Jesus is there, was not there, and now he's there. Just like the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. He was not there, and all of a sudden, he is there. So Mary is like you in the Mass. Mary is like the altar in the Mass. Mary is like the church. So that is for the incarnation of this is our meditation of the incarnation of Christ. And then now I let you just continue with this meditation with Jesus in the Eucharist, and
At the end of the hour, you will pray the night prayers, and then after night prayers, those who have to go for a rest, they go for a rest. Those who stay here for the adoration stay, and then it just continues.